to bring upstage a friend, a brother, a colleague, a man who has done a lot for God, written many books, and done so many great things. And I want to invite him and his wife. Please help me welcome Bishop Doug and his wife.
Thank you, Reverend Steve. Please be seated. I want to ask my wife to say hello first.
Praise the Lord. Coming here is always like coming home. So it's been a long time, and it's good to see you this morning. I know that the preaching time is very limited, so I wouldn't say much, but I want to honor Reverend Steve Mensah and his wife and the whole pastoral team for thinking about evangelism, because it is the least talked about topic now in the body of Christ. So I pray that this week, I'm sure that many things have been deposited, and I pray that that deposit will yield a bumper harvest. God bless you.
Why don't you give her a powerful hand clap offering? It's a blessing to be here today. As Reverend Steve said, he's my best friend, and we are excited to be here always. Congratulate him, congratulate Reverend Stanley, and all the other pastors for great work you are doing. When I drove in, you know, from that side, and I saw all the mighty structures, I was thankful to God, because I remember when we came here, in the dust and the sand and the heat, under a small canopy, with faith. And now it looks like a Presby church that has been there for a long time, a very old, established church. And I was thankful for what God has done. God is doing great things. Amen. And I'm happy to be involved somehow in what the Lord is doing. Amen. And concerning the day of help, you know, like I said on the little documentary we just watched, you know, it's very scary even to look at people with these problems, because you get scared that what about if it's you? Is it not true? So it's one of the reasons why people don't want to even see it. I don't want to see this problem. But there are 37 million blind people in the world. 37 million. And India has the largest number of blind people in the whole world. And I don't know if we know how many we have here. India has 15 million blind people. There are a lot of problems. And we really need to do our part as Christians. So I'm thankful to God for the heart that is given to your leader and your pastor. And it deserves all the help that is possible. Amen. So I'm part of it. We are also part of it. We are bringing, we were aiming to bring 1,000 wheelchairs, which we've bought for the Day of Help. We bought and we are importing them. I believe that it should be here on time. It will be on time. But I don't think we were able to get the quantity that we wanted. You know, they were having difficulty with us. Our order was too big for them. They were surprised that somebody is ordering that. But to give to the people and to solve problems that even the government is not solving. So that's the role that we have to play. So we beg you all to support. Don't stand back and then be some way. All right? Hallelujah. Thank you, Steve, Reverend Steve, for inviting me to your wonderful pulpit. I want to introduce a couple of new books for those of you who read my books. This book is called Others. Others. There are other people who need help. And that's what the Day of Help is about. Others. Others. All right, beautiful. And this one is called How to Neutralize Curses. How to Neutralize Curses. This book will surprise you. It's not what you think it is. It describes the curses that are in the world today and that are working. When you read it, you will see the curses that are working in your life. Because there are curses here. A lot of curses. And how to neutralize them. It's a very important book. And then how you can make full proof of your ministry. Those of you who God is using in the ministry, how you can make full proof of your ministry. So I want to encourage you, Reverend Steve, don't stop this kind of work. Very important. You must make full proof of your ministry. And this morning, I'm going to be sharing from, I believe this is an evangelism conference, How You Can Preach Salvation, my newest book, How You Can Preach Salvation. Right. So, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. All the messages are in the book. So, if you are really interested in the messages, get the books. All right? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. Beautiful. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. All right? Now, it says, let's read from verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through the manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things angels desire to look into. Amen. Everybody say salvation. Salvation is a very, very important thing. Salvation means the saving. Salvage, to rescue, to save. All right? And salvation is the foundation of all that we are. You must be saved if you are to go to heaven. All right? Is that not so? And Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners for salvation. That is what Jesus Christ came. And I'm happy that the day of help and so on has been advertised, and that you heard what I said about it before I preach. Because when I preach what I'm preaching, you may think I don't believe in such things. But it's not true. I believe in that. Salvation stands as the entry point for all of us to come to God. Without salvation, right, you cannot do anything. All these works are nothing without salvation. Do you understand? Yeah. You see, salvation is so wonderful that the Bible says, and you know, there are so many scriptures on salvation, but because of time, you are simply going to have to do your own study if you are interested. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Like, the prophets of old could not understand the salvation they were talking about. Like, what is that? It's a marvelous thing that any of us should be saved. It's a wonder. And it was prophesied of years ago, but nobody could understand. Salvation? So they were prophesying that a great salvation was going to come. But nobody really understood. How are you saved? How are you saved? What salvation? It's a wonder for us to be saved. Hallelujah. And this salvation is prophesied about. Now in verse 11 of the scripture that I gave us, it says, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ did signify. What is this? When it testified, this is the salvation of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So the suffering of Christ on the cross of Jesus Christ is what brings salvation to us. It's not by works, not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. Is there not a song like that? Not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. By His grace alone and complete in Him. Yes. It's not by works of goodness. You see, helping a cripple, providing water, giving buckets, giving soap, smiling at people, building orphanages, and other good works. The salvation which the prophets were inquiring into was the salvation that comes to us through the sufferings of Jesus Christ on the cross. Hallelujah. Now that salvation is the foundation of every, and it's not only the foundation, it is the continuing cover under which we can even stand here and claim that we are serving God. Because the Bible says in John 9 verse 31 that we know that God heareth not sinners. God doesn't listen to sinners. If you are a sinner, God does not hear your prayers. So you need to be saved. And salvation is the most important thing. Now, as we go along, it says, it was revealed that not for themselves, they are not the ones going to experience that salvation, but us who have preached the gospel from the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. So this is a wonder, and this is a great blessing that has come to us. It's a great salvation. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If we neglect this great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord and was confirmed unto us that heard him. How shall we escape? Now, this is a verse that when we are preaching to sinners, we say, hey, if you neglect salvation, you cannot escape. You go to hell. But this is a letter written to Christians. And it is saying that we cannot escape if we neglect salvation, pure salvation. And we are not escaping. Today, the church is a phantom of what it is supposed to be. It's a ghost of what it's supposed to be. True. Because of the neglect of salvation, pure salvation. Yeah. People don't even know how to preach salvation. Like, pure salvation. Stand here and preach pure salvation. Don't mention prosperity. Don't talk about anointing, prosperity, falling down, Holy Ghost, nothing. Salvation. Most pastors cannot. Today. Yeah. If I give you a scripture, and I wouldn't struggle to give you a scripture, I give you John 3:16, and I say, preach 1 hour. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There are many pastors who would, after 5 minutes, you don't know what to say again. I'm talking about pure salvation. I'm not talking about being blessed, receiving. Something is happening. 16 people are receiving the touch. But no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about pure salvation. Yes. Reverend Eastwood came to our crusade in Navrongo. We had a crusade in Navrongo, and he came for one of the nights, sat on stage. And he said to me afterwards, he said, when I announced my topic, and my topic was born again, John 3, Nicodemus came to see Jesus and said, you must be born again. He said he was wondering, what am I going to say? What am I going to say for all this time? Yeah. But I had a lot to say. You see, because if you don't preach pure salvation, when you take it up and start, you'll be shocked. And it happened to me when I started having crusades. I realized that I have to actually learn how to preach pure salvation, because it's not something that we are much into. So for the past 12 or 13 years, I've been preaching pure salvation. Every campaign, every night, salvation. And you see, it says, how can we escape? We are not escaping. What has the church become? Powerless. Powerless. As we stand there, we are unable to, even the difference between a believer and a non-believer is not so clear. Like saved and not saved. Yeah, when I was a born again Christian, I went to church when I got saved. The church that I went to was Action when I was around. But I was mostly in school. So I had a few occasions I could go on Sunday. Archbishop would be preaching salvation. Mostly we were hearing about salvation. And salvation was something, when it happens, you see that this man has changed. Starting from him. He was going from Wato Club to gondola, this, that, doing everything. And then he experienced pure salvation. And then there was a change. Today, you see people who say they are believers. Now, you'll be amazed in the government, both sides, are many people who go to charismatic churches. Sometimes you wonder whether it's the same salvation we are talking about. Yeah. Pure salvation. Yes. Because you see, when the church gets established, it's a great thing to belong, and it's politically important to be associated with a church. Because the church has people. Or the community, they are in the church. The church has, so you never know who is around. I see a general sitting right here. I mean, you better know your way around the church. We are too big to ignore. So then you begin to ask yourself, is this salvation as we know it, the great salvation? You see, the conversion from a sinful life, from evil. That's a Reverend Ambrose sitting here. He knows salvation because he's from Calvary Road. Pure salvation. That's all that we preach. Pure salvation. And we are not escaping because we are neglecting the salvation that has been delivered to us. A great salvation. People accuse me that I'm preaching basics. They say I'm preaching basics. I don't have revelation. Because I'm preaching pure salvation. It's fantastic. Look at a very big book that I've written. Pure salvation. This book is only about salvation. Yes. And the fonts in this book have been reduced to try to reduce the book. My books, I've tried to reduce them, not try to make them. Some people write books and increase the spaces and the size so that the book becomes fat. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Beautiful. According to the glorious gospel. Everybody say glorious gospel. This gospel we have is glorious. It's glorious. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Why should there be a person who calls himself reverend but cannot preach this glorious gospel and you are reverend? Which message are you preaching? You can't change the church from a glorious place, center of salvation, into a motivational school. Let's be serious. What do people come to get in church? Pure salvation. Today, if you want to check the rate of HIV, if we are gathered here and we check all our blood, for HIV, and you go outside the church to those who are not going to church and you check their blood, the rate of HIV in and the rate of HIV out is almost the same. The rate of divorce, every sin, every problem is almost the same, because the greatness of salvation has been de-emphasized. And rather, the emphasis is on what you can get by coming to church. God will bless you when you come to the church. God will take care of you. I see something happening in your life. Something is moving now. You see? Then the people come alive. says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. God trusted us with the beautiful gospel. Are we preaching that gospel? Answer is no. No. One day I was invited to preach in a powerful church somewhere, and I accepted. Then I was told someone else was preaching before me. And when I was told that the person was preaching before me, I said, I'm changing my mind, I won't come. Because I don't want to preach after him. Because it will look like I'm criticizing the person. And I don't like such things. I don't want to criticize your preaching. You preach about whatever, money, this, that. It's good, we need money and all that. But whenever I come and I preach this, like I said, it's good that we talk about this before I start preaching. The other, you said I don't believe in all these things. I've come to criticize the work that you are doing. So I said, no, I will not. It has happened to me before. And after, I was so sorry. I don't know how else to preach than what I'm saying. I don't know what else to say. Yeah. But I tell you, God has committed to our trust. He has trusted us with a message, and we've changed it into something else. We've changed it into what you can get, what you can have, how you can receive something from the Lord. Not salvation. Pastors don't even know how to do altar calls. Altar call for pure salvation. Come to the front. Give your life to Christ or you go to hell. You see them interviewing, they say, we don't talk about hell in church. We don't talk about hell. We don't talk about sin. Wow. Fantastic. So, those of you who are interested, you know, and I decided, I have this, but I decided I won't give it to you free. Oh, no. Even those who say you are being ordained as evangelists, I will not give it to you free. If you are serious, come and get it. Yeah. Why should I give it to you? I'm not doing a business, but I don't want to give it to you if you are not serious. Glorious gospel. Look at verse 12. I thank God. I thank Jesus Christ who has enabled me, for he counted me faithful. Putting me into the ministry. Wow. Even God has looked at us and he feels that we will be faithful with his message. Faithful means you don't change. If you are a husband or wife, when you prosper, then you change. No. Faithful means you don't change. Loyal, it means constant. You are the same. Yes. When you are big, when you are small, you don't change. You don't change the gospel. You don't change the message. But what are we doing? And you have people who are preaching compassionate works. Compassionate work cannot save. Then you might as well be World Vision or a governmental organization to make boreholes, provide electricity, food, water, which cannot save a soul. Pure salvation is about the salvation of the soul. Yeah, it's about heaven and hell. You don't have to believe it. I'm reading from the Bible. Yeah, you can give people medicine. 1,000 chloroquines, 1,000 Panadol, 1,000 cream for their rashes, and they will still go to hell if their souls are not saved. So salvation is very important. And it's the number one thing. You see that Reinhard Bonnke, in all his crusade, doesn't do all these things. No. There's never. His ministry is Piosa and T.L. Osborne and all these people. They've never involved in all these kind of things. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't do them. We also do clinics and all these things. In fact, we are even trying to build a place for the people with the legs and to provide free of charge. What is not being done by the government to provide legs and all those things. It's a big project that we are doing. So I'm saying this so that you know that it's not that we don't believe in it too. But I'm telling you, salvation, the cross, it is an insult to God to replace the cross and the message of salvation with a message of kindness and a message of goodness. Can never replace. You cannot be saved by doing good works. No matter how nice you are and how good you are, it doesn't make you good before God. All our righteousness are like filthy rags before Him. All the works we achieve, they are filthy rags. So we need to be saved by the cross and by the blood of Jesus. And we need to know how to preach it. Otherwise, we are lost even though we think we are doing good works. And I'll say that for me, it has taken me many, many years to even be able to do something like this. Do you know why? Because you see, as I grew up, I was in an Orthodox church. I was in an Orthodox church. I've been in different types of Orthodox churches. I never heard about salvation. I was in a church school. I never heard about salvation. I never knew that I had to be saved. I have been to church hospitals, church schools, church everything. And I was not saved. I was on my way to hell. So when I got saved and I became a minister, it was almost offensive to me when I see pastors doing such things. Because it's almost like, instead of preaching to us about our salvation, look at what you are doing. And we only think that a church is there to provide a hospital, to provide a school, to provide care for the sick and all these things. But you don't tell us your main, the gospel that has been committed to you. That God taught you a faith, not knowing that you are not faithful at all. Yeah. God thought that you'd be faithful, but you are not faithful. That's why I look at people who say, I'm preaching basics. I'm preaching. Let's see your ministry. You say I'm preaching basics. Let's see your ministry and let's look at my ministry. With my basics. After church, come with your notes and your photographs and your videos. And let's look at your ministry. And where you preach with your advanced motivational speeches. Come after church with videos and let's see where you have been. And what you are doing for God. With my basics of salvation. Pure salvation. Yeah. You know, God showed me one day. I said, Lord, if I don't preach about healing and miracle, will people be healed? Said, preach salvation. See. You see me preaching. I preach heaven and hell. As if there's not even one miracle. Then after, come and see power. There is no miracle in the Bible that I have not seen. And I see miracle. In Senegal, I was known as a magician. When I went to Senegal, I was known as a magician. Grand Marabout. That's what they call me. Grand Marabout. In Dakar. Yeah. Everywhere I'm received by Muslims, they like me. Because it's miracles. Healing. Yeah. And you see, the gospel, there are so many messages. There's no need to get into conflict with any religion. Jesus is so beautiful. There are so many ways to preach the gospel. After church, come and let's compare notes. My basics and your advancement. After church, come and let's compare notes. Hey. You say you are now advanced. See me after church. Bring your pictures from your crusades and I'll also bring mine. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is why he came. He didn't come to provide wheelchairs. I'm the one bringing 1,000. I'm telling you that that is not why Jesus came to this world. I'm the one bringing 1,000, and I'm telling you that that's not why he came to this world. He came to this world to save sinners. It's a faithful saying. It's a statement that will never change. That's what he means by it's a faithful saying. It will never, you can never change why Jesus came to this world. No matter how good you are, how nice you are. Look, I got saved when I was in secondary school. Before that, I was not saved. I was going to church. I was taking Holy Communion. I was singing. That's why I don't like hymns. If you ever see me when they are singing, I don't sing. Because I don't know them. We were singing hymns. We were not saved. We didn't understand what it was. Communion. All those things. It was only when God gave me a revelation. Communion, hymns, all these things. Because it represented dead religion which did not save my soul. You will not know. Before all these churches were there, we had no other church to go to except these other ones. Why are you laughing? What have I said? Others. Yeah. Jesus came to save us. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. I'm preaching to you from this book, chapter 1. They that will be rich. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 9. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hateful lusts. All right? Which drown men in destruction and perdition. You see, if you change the version, it will say those who want to be rich. You know, as soon as we want to be rich, evil starts to attach itself to us. So a lot of the things that we are preaching are inspired by the desire for money and the desire to be rich. So that it causes us to be tempted and trapped. And now a lot of people are in a snare, trapped with messages you can't come out of. A type of flow that the church even does not know anything else apart from coming to be blessed. In fact, when people say they are going for prayer meetings, it's not actually to pray. It's to get something from God. I'm here, oh Lord, for this business contract. Shall we pray? And it's contract. It's money. Elections. The NDC people were praying for victory. They have prayer warriors. And the MP people to also pray for victory. Hey! Prophesying prophet. We have two types of prophets. Those prophesying victory for this side. Those prophesying on television. It's fantastic. It's amazing. But you see, it has spoiled everything about the ministry. And if we don't come back to pure salvation, you see, even the desire for somebody to be saved, the desire for people to be saved, we sit in a car, we don't witness. You don't even know how to witness. What is witnessing? You don't know how to do it. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap. Today, the church is trapped. Today the church is trapped. Go on Facebook and see all the pastors. Facebook Live, you see all the pastors. You can't even see with this man, a bank manager. What is he saying? What is he talking about? It's amazing. You can't even be blessed. But most of the things that the people are saying, it's all about how to get something, a good life, better something, better life situation, receive it, breakthrough. This must end. Your trouble must end. The giant must die. This must... Hey. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root, put it back to King James, is the root of all evil. So all evils in the church, including the evil of the deviation from the salvation message, the root of all evil is money. And it is the root of the current evil is money. Because the root of not some evils, all problems, marital, political, spiritual, church, when there is a problem, the root is money, and the devil is the behind the money. It has changed everything that we preach. Oh yeah, our messages, our preaching, our church, our lives, ordinary Christians. It's unusual for somebody to have a conference, evangelism conference. You must be joking. It has to be something, your hour has come, conference. Or, escape from darkness conference. But evangelism conference. You've got to be serious if you want people to come. The love of money is actually at the root of every bad thing that we are having. Today, many towns and villages are waiting for salvation and need it more than we need it in Accra. But you won't see anybody going there. Why should you go there? If you try to say, tell people to go there, you'd be surprised. D.L. Moody, in 1868, he preached 7 nights on John 3:16. Every night, the message was John 3:16. In 1868. So I want to ask how many of us can be like D.L. Moody and take only John 3:16. Tonight, my message is John 3:16. 7 nights, John 3:16. When I read that, I was inspired. I said, wow, can I take John 3:16 and preach for 7 days? How many of us can do that? So salvation is coming back. Pious, and if you try it. All those people who said they are bringing prosperity and whatever. After church, bring your prosperity and let us compare. Those of us who are preaching basics, and you who are preaching advanced, and let's compare prosperity and see. I say, after church, bring your ministry and I also put mine down. Then we compare. Are you still there or you are leaving? I thought you were leaving. Now, I'm going to give you some homework as I end my preaching. Yeah, you want me to continue, isn't it? Yeah, you see, salvation is a nice topic. You see now, I'm preaching my basics. You are enjoying the basics. Now, how do you preach salvation to your friend? When I say how you can preach salvation, don't think of a preacher. Think of yourself. You are supposed to go into all the world and preach. Oh, it doesn't apply to me. It doesn't apply to you. Then if you ask anything in my name, I'll give it to you. That also doesn't apply to you. That one also doesn't apply. Because it wasn't written, this applied to pastors, this applied to whatever. No, John 15:16, I have chosen you. I have called that you may go forth and bear much fruit, and that your fruit should abide, and that whatsoever you ask in my name, I should give it to you. It's connected. Bearing fruit, preaching, asking, praying, they are all connected. So don't try to disconnect things and say, oh, this one is for Pastor Steve. He should go to the village and preach. We there, we are here prospering. You are not prospering. You are just getting more debts. A lot of fake businesses, you say you are prospering. It's just debt. Full of debt. You have not prospered when you are owing money. Zero is bigger than minus 1 million. If you like, check your arithmetic. You see that zero is bigger. And greater than. Do you remember greater than? Zero is greater than minus 1,000. So when you don't owe, you are far greater than somebody who owes. When you go home today, tell them you learned arithmetic. You are delivered from every debt in the name of Jesus. Now, salvation. Pure salvation. Pure salvation. How are you going to preach it? Number one. I don't even know why you are writing, because it is in the book. If you are serious, you will not be saying that you are writing. I have in this book 110 ways. Yes. That you can preach salvation. 110 different ways. But I've divided it into sections. The first section is salvation and the love of God. You can preach salvation that God loves you. That's why I say that even when you go where there are other religions, there's no need to tell them that your God is the only God and there's no other God. All their gods are false. Just say that God loves you. So, number one, it's a famous sermon by Billy Graham. God commended his love. Wow, can you preach that? God commended his love. That while we were sinners, Christ died for us. It's a message. It's in the book. Number two, greater love. Number three, the prodigal son. Number four, God sent not his son to condemn the world. Number five, the good Samaritan. Number six, why God sent his son. Number seven, a savior's serenade is a song by a savior. Beautiful. And number six, and number eight, John 3:16. So you must be able to preach John 3:16 every night. Now the next section of preaching salvation is salvation and the blood of Jesus. You must be able to preach salvation and the blood of Jesus Christ. And all the messages of them are there. The power of the blood of Jesus, steps to salvation in the blood of the Lamb. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. When T.L. Osborne came to Ghana, that's the message he preached. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Then you must be able to preach section 3, salvation, judgment, and hell. Can you preach about hell? Huh? Hell. You can't preach about hell. But you are preaching what? Money. Money is coming. O'Malley. Why your soul is important. I preached that in South Africa and then they put it on the internet. Why your soul is important. Who will go to hell? I have a list of 10 people who are going to hell. They are all in the Bible. Yes. Yes. You want me to say it? It's a beautiful list. When I stand at the crusade, I just go through my list. It says that the wicked shall be turned into hell. Psalm 19. The wicked are going. So if you are weak, those who forget God are going to hell. It's there. Psalm 19. I have a list. And if you are in it, no, that's it. Then you see that you have to give your life to Jesus. Is it fantastic? Then you must be able to preach salvation and individuals. Like salvation and the woman of Jesus and the woman of Samaria. Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus and Zacchaeus. Jesus and the rich fool. Jesus and Judas. Now let's take Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a short man. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. Today I'm coming to your house. And he said, all that I have, the wrong that I have done, I will pay back all. And I'll restore all of them. Today, when people are saved, they don't restore anything. You see them in church. Thieves. Liars. Wicked. No change. But when you preach salvation from Zacchaeus, you see that he said, what I have taken by false accusation. I restore back to the people. That's salvation. Rather, the pastor will be saying, I see somebody here with you have three cars in the house. One blue, one white, one black. The black one is mine. Tonight, bring it to the church. You took it by false representation. God says he needs it for his army. Instead of saying you should go and return it from the place where he stole it, they have to bring it to the prophet. We are wild, though. Advanced preaching. The next one, salvation and the great invitation. Oh, my time is way up. Salvation and your choices. Wow, one thing is needful, the house on the rock. Without salvation, without Christ, without the blood of Jesus, without faith, you can do nothing. Beautiful messages, they are there. Salvation and the new life, that is the new creation. Born again. Then salvation and Jesus Christ as a person. Who was Jesus? Why many people believe in Jesus? This is my favorite message. Whenever I see certain type of people, I have to preach. Why people believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Jesus the first and the last. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Salvation and the kingdom of God. And salvation and miracles. Many, many wonderful messages. And all these are supposed to be in our hearts. This is the great salvation that was prophesied. But if you are interested, and if we as a church will come back to our foundations, and I love the scripture in Hebrews 2, it says, how can we escape, or even how can we do well if we neglect such a great salvation? So it's time for us to pay attention to the salvation. And we must spend more money on people being saved than on anything else. Yes. Inasmuch as we are doing all these wonderful things, we must do what we have to do for the salvation of their souls. If your father is sick or your uncle is not well, lead him to Christ. Don't just go and buy medicine for him or call somebody who can pray with him. Don't just give money and then the person dies and goes to hell. You know, there's a lady who wrote, I think, a book called Heaven is So Real. She's a very strange person because in the book, she wrote that when she went to hell, she saw her mother in hell. And she said that for people, it became a bestseller. Because you could see the authenticity. Because her mother was not a Christian. Your mother may be in hell, your father may be in hell, just because of your silence. Yes. And it's time not just to be sending money, but salvation. You need to be saved. You need Jesus. Your name must be written in the book of life. And I tell you, you may consider it basic, but that is what has given birth to all these charismatic churches, was the emphasis on that you need to be saved to join the church. To join the church, you must be saved. Otherwise, you cannot join the church by osmosis. You cannot join the church by diffusion. You cannot join the church by being in your father's family. You have to take a decision and be saved. That's how you gain membership to the church. And that's why the Baptists, you see, they are very emphatic about teaching salvation and so on, because what they say is that if the building block of the building is not solid, then the whole house is in danger. So that is why each member must be a really saved person. Pure salvation. He must experience it so that the building blocks of the church are solid. Not that some are made of unbelievers, semi-demi-Christians, I mean, all kinds of characters and dangerous devils are all part of the windows and so on. It's not a good thing. We need real salvation and really saved people who are changed and turned around, washed with the blood of Jesus, whose names are in the book of life. That is how you become a member of the church. How many are going to go back to pure salvation? Stand to your feet, everyone. Are you blessed with the basics? Lift your hand and thank God that you are going back. You are no more going to neglect the beautiful salvation that God has given to us. We give you thanks, Father, and we praise you for blessing us and guiding us today in Jesus' name. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you are here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my life to God. If you are here like that, I want to pray with you. Maybe somebody invited you to church, but you are not really born again. You are not saved. Maybe you just came, but today you want to say, Pastor, pray with me, help me. I want to give my heart to God. I want Jesus to wash away my sins. I want Jesus to change my life. I want my sins to be washed away with the blood of Jesus. If you are here like that, you want me to pray with you, you want to give your life to God, lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Just your right hand, lift it up high. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hand. I see your hand. Just lift it up high. I want to be saved. I want my name to be written in the book of life. Then your hand must be up. God bless you. I see all your hands. If you've lifted your hand, come from where you are. Come to me. Just come over. I'm going to wait for you right here. Very quickly. Come and stand right here. You may have been coming to the church for some time, but I'm talking about salvation. Without salvation, you are not really part of the church of God. And your father is the devil. So you need salvation today. Quickly, I'm going to pray with you in 1 second. Come very quickly. Clap for them. Encourage them as they come. Come. I want to pray with you. Maybe somebody invited you. Maybe you were passing by. Maybe you've been coming. But today, you need to give your life. If you lifted your hand, come very quickly, please, from upstairs. Come quickly. I'm waiting for you. Come from the back, wherever you are. I need Jesus. I want my name to be in the book of life. I don't want to go to hell. Maybe you've come here 10 times, 100 times, but you are not saved, or you are not sure whether you are saved. Come now. I want to pray with you. I need Jesus Christ to wash away my sins. I want my name to be in the book of life. You cannot join the church because your mother is in the church, your father is in the church, your uncle is in the church. You must be born again. You must give your heart to Jesus Christ. Your name must be in the book of life. Your sins must be washed by the blood of Jesus. Come on, quickly, quickly. This is your opportunity to be saved, to be born again. I want to pray with you. I want to help you to know God. You may be sitting near the front. People have been seeing you in the church, but today may be a day that you need to be saved. It's a very important thing. God bless you. God bless you. Lift your hands and let us pray. Let's all lift our hands and join together. Say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I am a sinner. I have done many bad things. Please wash away my sins. Today, I repent. I turn around. I come to the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. Please cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. Please have mercy on me for all my sins. I give my heart to you. I give my heart to you, Lord Jesus. Please write my name. Please write my name in the book of life. From today. Say, from today, I belong to God. I belong to Jesus. And I will serve Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I want you to go this way. Our pastor is waving this way. Put your hands together and let's welcome Reverend Steve. Thank you. Outside, I see we have some of my books there, Macarius. You can get a copy if you want. Thank you very much. God bless you all. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for the church, everybody, every hand lifted up. Thank you for the blessing of salvation. Now that we are saved, help us to serve you. Thank you, Lord. Your word said that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added. I thank you that from today, you are our priority. You are our leader. You are who we are looking for and serving. Help us to be faithful with the message that you have placed on our hearts. Thank you for the blessing of everyone here as we go in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.